This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
Hi, it's Pat and Stu.
We do a show here every day around this time.
No one really knows why.
No, actually.
Nobody knows.
No one seems to know.
It's kind of a mystery. It's one of those mysteries. Hmm. One day we'll know, probably, but
yeah.
Today is not that day.
It's kind of the reason we do the show, is to figure out why it's happening.
Yeah.
And then one of the reasons why people are so confused as to why we would do the show is because we keep putting this person on it right over here.
That'd be Jeffy. Right there.
Oh, hey.
He's just so irritating. I should tell you, we should tell you that we have a walk, and it's a short walk, from the radio show over to the set every day.
Right.
And
it's a short walk for you, maybe, but I mean, you have to go all the way. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, you have all those, you know, obviously walking anywhere for you is
laborious.
Yes, laborious. You should know that in between the end of the radio show and the beginning of the show, the entire thing is filled with insults of Jeffy.
We should really Facebook is. Live that sometime.
Just yes! To show.
You know that's a good idea. Give
an example. Yeah.
Shouldn't we?
Yes. Yeah. We should, right?
Because just because we're not on the air does not mean our principles are not there.
Yeah,
and our principles are insulting Jeffy. That's what our. It's really the reason we come in every day.
It's the only so principles welcome. We don't break, that's for sure. We yes, never break
all,
that.
All our other ones, I mean, jeez. You know,
broke it all the time.
We vote. Hardcore socialist almost all the time. We show up.
We secretly rooting for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
We loved him.
Yeah,
we loved him.
Once the Bernie Sanders thing was over, I was out when that last election.
Don't you miss Bernie?
No.
Having him to kick around?
Not at all. I was watching Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Coming to quality.
You remind me. I was watching Saturday Night Live this weekend, and they were doing a weekend update, which, you know, is so bad. And they are they are so unabashedly anti-Trump on that show now. It's like, even with other presidents, you know, they've always been critical of Republicans, obviously, on that show. It's a liberal show. I don't think I've ever seen them like they are now. Every segment is another crazy take on how much they hate Donald Trump. I mean, it is really extreme. And so the other day they were like, you know, they said something about how people were worried about who they were voting for. There wasn't a lot of passion for them. There was some study, and then like their joke was if we only had someone who really connected with the base and had real passion behind him, and then they show a picture of Bernie Sanders, and it's like you realize he lost by 4 million votes in the primary. 4 million. I mean, he was not all that competitive
and
in that primary.
Again, a socialist,
a socialist.
74-year-old socialist.
God. So weird, the praise adoration that comes for this guy.
And it was the youth that he really captured.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you could say he captured them. They lost by 4 million votes.
Yeah, they
he
did
captured,
lose.
Like, people get confused, I think, between how Bernie Sanders did and how he should have done, which he should have had 3% of the vote and lost in a week.
Right.
But and he didn't, and he was competitive for a while, and he was in the picture, but it was not all that close. He didn't need superdelegates. Mm-hmm. He didn't need John Podesta's hacked emails to win or to lose. He just lost. He got destroyed by Hillary Clinton. It was not that. Mm-hmm. Now she was so bad that it was closer than it should have been. But that does not mean he was like he really connected all that much.
Yeah, Joe Biden, I think we've made this point before, but Joe Biden's got to be kicking himself.
Oh, you are kidding.
He would be the president of the United States in all likelihood, or Al Gore. I think Al Gore would have beaten anybody in the Democrat field.
And trust me, he
would have probably beaten Trump.
It didn't take an email from Debbie Wasserman Schultz at the DNC to say, hey, we should probably get behind Hillary because Bernie sucks. That wasn't the cause of Bernie losing.
I know.
No. And I don't understand that.
It's a very Alex Jones take.
It sure is.
On that's the reason. That was not mm-hmm. the reason. That was not the sure reason. Is. People vote. Did you ask the RNC how to vote?
No.
No.
No, I did
did
not.
Did anyone in the Democratic, any of the Democratic voters be like, well, how am I supposed to vote? What is a DNC? The DNC says Hillary. Okay, I'm going Hillary.
Not only did it's I not happens. Ask, I didn't care no. how they felt
in fact,
about
if
it.
If they wanted Ted Cruz, I might have voted a different way.
Yeah.
you know, that's how much I think of the RNC. And I'm not a Republican, by the way. I'm an independent. And in Texas, you're allowed to vote in the Republican primaries, which I did.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm registered that way because I may have when I was young, not knowing any better.
Do you remember if they asked you which one you wanted to vote? Because if you came in and they said, do you want to vote in the Republican or Democrat, then you're probably an independent. They asked me, like, which one do I want to vote in? Because I could have theoretically voted for Bernie Sanders.
They didn't, so I must be a registered Republican.
Jeffy, what are you? You're registered, other than a registered sex offender, which one are you?
when I moved to Texas, I think I went Republican. Because I wanted to be able to vote in the primaries, and I didn't realize I could stayed independent when we first moved here.
Yeah, it's only important in the states where you have to register to vote.
Because I remember the first time in Florida, I was upset because I was an independent, and I went to vote, and no, you can't vote.
Wow.
In the primary.
Yeah, in the primary. I was, come on.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I like the idea. I don't think you should be able to switch from Democrat to Republican to vote in the other primary because that's a lot of that. You know, like that Rush sure did that is. Thing, Operation Chaos, back in the day, and the Democrats certainly have tried to do it as well. Where you're a Democrat, you just want to make the other side have problems, and that's a stupid thing. I mean, like it was a funny thing that Rush did. But it's not a good way to run elections. Mm-hmm. The laws, it's more you'd rather have it so people. Vote for someone they actually believe in.
Yeah, and you'd like for Republicans to decide their party and Democrats theirs, right? That's the way it should be. Some interesting information coming out of WikiLeaks. I don't know that I fully believe it, but they are alleging some pretty extraordinary things that the CIA can do. Here's Jake Tapper talking about it.
A stunning look inside the CIA's hacking capability, seemingly straight out of a Jason Bourne film. WikiLeaks calls it the, quote, largest ever publication of confidential documents from the CIA. Documents they claim are from the CIA Center for Cyber Intelligence that reveal the methods the spy agency uses to gather information on targets without them knowing. Among them, turning household items such as computers or smartphones or a Samsung smart TV into surveillance tools, turning your own electronics into spy devices, even when they're powered off. The CIA hackers are apparently able to bypass encryption on popular communication applications such as WhatsApp or Signal or Confide by hacking the smartphones the apps run on and collecting the data before the encryption is applied. Now, CNN cannot independently verify the information contained in these 8,761 documents and files, which WikiLeaks is calling Vault 7. In a statement, a CIA spokesman said, quote, we do not comment on the authenticity or content of purported intelligence documents, unquote.
I mean, how would you ever confirm the veracity of that report? It's almost impossible because the CIA is not going to tell you.
Yeah, oddly, what's strange about this is they really would have freedom to put out whatever they wanted at this point. I mean, if they wanted to design a fake program by the CIA, they could really put it out whenever they want it. And I would think most people would believe it because, you know, so far we've seen most of their stuff has been, generally speaking, accurate as far as it how you take it is another point. But, I mean, they have been actual documents from the organizations they requested or actual emails from the actual hack. So you'd think now they could probably create anything. And because the CIA has taken a sensible position to say, we're not going to tell you if these are real or not. I mean, how can they? If they do that, that would be a huge problem. However, the other side of it is if WikiLeaks released something that was completely fake, they would not necessarily be able to say, hey, this isn't real. I mean, that's obvious bull crap. Come on, we didn't do that because they don't comment on it.
Yeah.
Now, most likely what would happen is they would back channel it to reporters if it wasn't real. And they are probably back channeled to reporters that this stuff is real.
These are kind of interesting charges, though, that were sort of brought up with the what was her name? Cheryl Atkinson case from the CBS News reporter who was supposedly hacked into. Her computer was hacked into, she says, and turned on, and would happen in the middle of the night and watch and listen to her. I don't know what information you'd obtain while she's sleeping. That's what she believed, and this kind of backs that up because it says they can even turn on Samsung televisions and eavesdrop on private conversations using the implanted microphone in the TV.
I gotta say, poor Samsung on this
incredible.
One too, by the way, because I'm sure it's every smart TV,
Sony.
But everyone's just saying, I guess it's in the document, Samsung specifically, but you're telling me they can't get into a Sanyo TV, wearing a,
no,
they're
only the quality TVs can they get into.
Only the most expensive models. it's gotta be, there's some
the poor people aren't worth spying on.
Is that true, Jeffy?
Why are you asking me?
Forget it.
What did I?
So your TV doesn't even have to be on and they can do this. Your cell phone doesn't have to be on and they can do it.
Because they do have cameras on some TVs. For example, Glenn owned a TV, I don't know if he still does, that had a camera on the bottom of it. And the idea was you could do your Skype calls on TV, which would be awesome. Or a FaceTime. I don't know if FaceTime would work, probably not with Apple in the way they work, but a Skype call on television. And you get the huge screen, and then they would be able to see you through this camera. Mm-hmm. I don't have a TV that has a camera on it, though. I don't think most smart TVs do.
I don't think so.
So how would you hack in? And you mentioned voice command, which I also don't have. I don't have a voice command.
I have a couple of TVs that have the capability to have voice command.
What was Jason Chaffetz saying earlier? I forgot. About certain people spending on things they shouldn't spend on instead.
Oh, yeah.
You're assuming that I paid for them.
That is exactly what I assumed.
That was silly of you, Stu.
That was really stupid.
But if you don't use the voice command, if you don't activate it, then, obviously it's not.
I think they're alleging that the Samsung thing is eavesdropping audio only, because, like you said, most of them don't have cameras, so they can't watch you through your TV.
But I think one of the things they'd be able to do hacking-wise was turn on the thing that you might have off, right?
If you have
a voice command off, they could turn it on through the hacking, right?
That's the allegation.
Yes.
I would think that would be part of it, which is, bizarre. We talked about the Alexa thing, the Amazon Alexa, and again, sorry, I just set off your Amazon Alexa.
Alexa, what's the weather? Now you're getting your weather, you're welcome.
they had that case we talked about where there was
Alexa, now give me the 10-day outlook.
Okay, go ahead.
We had that case where we had that murder investigation and they wanted to listen to what was said. And remember, Amazon was fighting it?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who was charged with murder said, go ahead, use it. I have no problem with using it.
Go ahead, use Alexa.
Okay, Google, give me an 8-word for Equestrian.
What? Down.
I just wanted to confuse it. I wanted to confuse the.
I think it worked.
I think it did. Yeah.
So there you go. I don't know. The WikiLeaks stuff. We talked about this a little bit on radio. I go back and forth between thinking the United States government can literally listen to anything. Every time I go to the bathroom, they're watching me do it. I go back and forth between that and they really are kind of incompetent. I mean, they miss stuff all the time.
And why isn't you stop watching me go to the bathroom and look for something bad?
Well, like a terrorist. Why aren't all the terrorists dead? If you can do all this stuff, come on.
Yeah.
You know where they are if that's the case. They have cell phones. Tap into them, find out where they are, and kill them.
So, simple.
From that, if you're thinking in that light, it makes it hard to believe that they can do all this.
Right, it's the iRobot thing, right? What's the other one with Tom Cruise and the people in the milk?
Minority Report. I just watched that last night. That's weird that you would bring that up.
And it's a good movie. So it stands the test of time a little bit, right?
Yeah,
but like, the way those movies are presented is how I sometimes think about the government. And that, like, if they wanted to, they would know every single place you are at all times. There'd be no way to get away. And it's probably not that crazy yet.
It's close, right? Though. I was thinking that as I was watching, because he, you know, if you remember the storyline, he's a police officer accused of doing a future crime, which he doesn't believe he's going to commit. And so he goes on the run, and he has to have his own eyes removed and replaced with somebody else's, because your eyes are always scanned for your identity everywhere you go. And so when you walk into a mall, all these things flash up and offer you products, or, hey, Mr. Jones, you go on a nice vacation to the Caribbean. And they know your name, they know who you are, they know what you spend, they know your habits, they know your income level. It's a fascinating look at the future, and some of those things have actually arrived. The movie came out in 2002, and it still looks pretty good. It holds up well.
Now, the person to ask here, obviously, is Jeffy on this question I'm about to ask. So I ask this, but seriously, honestly, if you committed a major crime right now, okay, and wanted to get away, you wanted to somehow get away from police, from being detected. They knew it was you, okay? So it's not like an unsolved crime. Okay. They know it was Jeffy. How do you do that? Because, and now, obviously, with a crime, it's good, right? We want to catch the criminals. Mm-hmm. But how would you go? You wouldn't be able to spend any of your, you wouldn't be able to go to an ATM and pull out money.
You've got to use cash.
Right, so you'd have to be prepared, right, to have cash in advance.
Or you'd have to, you know, commit other crimes.
Right, or commit other crimes. Yeah. Then you also couldn't use a credit card. You couldn't book any travel, right? So you'd have to have
ground transportation.
However, you couldn't use Uber. You couldn't use your smartphone at all. You couldn't use your car, most likely, because your car likely has a GPS or maybe OnStar or something like
yours.
That. Right? You'd have to figure something out. Again, you have to, steal a car?
Yeah.
But again, then it's a stolen car that the same thing is all going to apply. They're all going to be looking for the car. You can't go into any public areas because there's cameras everywhere.
Yep.
So, you're really stuck doing, Eric Rudolph, and going into the mountains and hoping no one ever comes to find you. And eventually you go to a freaking, a dumpster to get some food. And
somebody sees you.
And the point of, I'd rather go to jail than eat out of a dumpster. I got to say. So what do you do? The guy who stole $1 billion of gold or the whatever it was.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, the bucket of gold in New York.
The bucket of gold in New York. You know, where'd you even go with it?
I mean, he ends up in Ecuador.
Even if you get to Ecuador, what are you doing with the gold that's not going to be detected? It would be so difficult. You'd have to be trained. It's almost like you'd have to be Jason Bourne to get away from this stuff.
To bypass all this.
Seriously, what would you do, Jeffy? You commit a murder, now that you're going to do that. I mean, that's certainly not something.
Although I was somewhere this weekend when I thought, this would be a good place. You could bury a number of bodies here.
Right,
and
like
nobody
you could
would
get
see you.
If you
but
don't mind staying there forever.
Right, you then, couldn't get in and out.
Right,
it's very difficult to get in and out.
What would you do right now? You commit a terrible crime. You're in the studio right now, and you need to get away. Let's say you can beat the cops from showing up here, so they know you're here. Where do you go? Do you have a plan? Would you have any idea? Because the roads around here all have cameras or tolls.
You'd be caught immediately because unless you plan for it ahead of time, you had all cash.
Yeah, you couldn't
because you can't use your credit card. You'd have to somehow disable your GPS in your car, because we all have that. You'd have to leave your iPad and
all
cell phone home and just drive someplace, I guess, into the woods. I don't know, because they're going to find you everywhere else. There's cameras everywhere, at every intersection, and then in the downtown areas, and then in every business you go into. Everybody's got cameras. So while we're not as surveyed as England is, we're still pretty monitored.
Pretty crazy. But that being said, a man picked up a bucket of gold in New York City and made it to Ecuador with it.
They caught him, though.
He made it to Ecuador.
He did.
Look, once you get to Ecuador.
I think it was Ecuador.
Wasn't well,
it?
I'm just picking
yeah, up. Yeah, no,
he
I
made
think,
it far, whatever, though. Yeah, I can't remember where it was.
I know.
But, I mean, the point is, like, because I remember when I went to Belize a few years ago. And when you fly to Belize, you fly to Belize City. And then the area that I went to in Belize, you take a puddle jumper over the half the country.
It's
a very small country. There's only 300 or 400,000 people in the entire country. So it's a small country. And as you're going over this area, I was looking down, because you're flying, you know, a few hundred feet off the ground, you know, maybe a couple thousand maybe, but like you're close to the ground as for a flight. And I'm looking down at the ground, I'm like, there are areas where it's just trees for as far as you could see. Anything could happen in that area. Like you could be in the middle of there and not see another person your entire life if you could somehow figure out a way to live, you know, because there's so much untouched land in this country that if you plan well enough for it, if you could get there, maybe you could get away with it. But again, when it comes down to how, in my mind, there's no way you could take a bucket of gold, walk through New York City, and they don't have you before you leave the island.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How did that happen? But it does. It does. It's a lot of retroactive stuff. Like, they can, if they know they're looking for you, they can go back and look at video and find stuff. But if they don't, and until they really realize who it is, where it happened, and they can look, they don't have it in real time yet. And that's really the only thing holding them back.
And maybe the deal is they didn't know that guy actually. Maybe the gold was gone for a while.
Right, they didn't realize it for a little while. But still, it's on a camera, and the guy picked it up and started walking away with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that...
It's amazing that he did get as far as he got.
Amazing.
But they did eventually get their man.
So, I don't know. I don't know if it's WikiLeaks is right, and we're looking at everyone's looking at us all the time, or if it's the opposite. They never can find anything.
We do know this, though. Your current phone carrier sucks. They're using your money to undermine your beliefs. They spend tens of millions of dollars on causes that you probably don't like Planned Parenthood and climate change things and getting liberals in office. And it's not good, but there's a great alternative.
Patriot Mobile is the company. We've talked about them for a while. They're a great company. They have all the service that you would need from your phone. Nationwide talk and text with high-speed 4G LTE data. The prices are great, and they donate up to 5% of your monthly bill to a conservative organization of your choice. You'll make a real difference just by paying your phone bill.
Yeah, doing the right thing is great, but you don't want to have to sacrifice quality for it. And with Patriot Mobile, you don't. They'll even buy out your current contract. They'll pay, give you credits up to $500 to get you out of it, and you can keep your phone number, and you get all the great nationwide coverage and support the causes that you believe in.
Yeah, and a lot of times we say the 5% number going to the conservative values, and it's not really true, because if you think about it, let's say the company you're with now is giving 3% of the money that you're giving them to some liberal charity. Mm-hmm. That's an 8% swing, right? Because it's 3% that the liberals aren't getting, and then 5% conservatives are.
Yeah.
So it is a big swing. It makes a difference. Call Patriot Mobile now. They're going to waive your $35 activation fee with a promo code PATANDSTEW, but you got to use the promo code PATANDSTEW to get that. Go to patriotmobile.com/PATANDSTEW or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. It's 1-800-A-PATRIOT, promo code PATANDSTEW.
It's PATANDSTEW. We already have the first state lawsuit against the new Trump travel ban. It's already been announced.
Yeah.
Give it a second. Would you shut up? Hawaii has announced it will challenge the Trump administration's revised executive order, the one that blocked travel from six nations. Lawsuit will be filed tomorrow. Is that today?
I guess today.
Yeah. So the lawsuit's being filed today. It's the first of what will likely be many challenges designed to better stand legal scrutiny. I mean, does Hawaii really care how many people from Yemen come to the islands? I don't know.
They're just opposing the president.
They're just opposing the president.
I mean, you know, look, this is, you know.
It's just petty politics.
Yeah. I mean, I also think it's beyond the fact that they have a problem with this policy, which, let's be honest about it, if Barack Obama did it, they would have no problem. Did you hear a word from them when they added additional restrictions for visas from these same countries? No, they didn't say a word about it. They don't really care. But what they do care about, I think, is the idea that the more Donald Trump is focused on this, the less he's focused on other things. The longer you can delay, again, he's only got 2 years here of a guarantee, right, of control. Because after 2 years, you have a situation where, you know, the Senate or the House could go to the Democrats. So you got 2 years where you have control of all three. It may or may not continue after that, but their job is to run out the clock on these 2 years, just like the Republicans tried to do with Barack Obama. The question is, will Donald Trump allow himself to get constantly derailed with things like Schwarzenegger's ratings and nonsensical battles about whether he was wiretapped or he won the popular vote? So far, while he has done that constantly in the media, there's still been a lot that has been done through executive orders at the same time. He's been able to chew gum and walk at the same time. The issue is there's been zilch as far as legislation goes. So at some point, you need to get some of this done. Right now, we're looking at the Obamacare thing as the first thing they're going to try to do legislatively. It does not look like it's going very well so far. Mm-hmm. Most conservatives, I think, are against it. You know, whether he can get 218 votes in the House even, I don't think is right now plausible. But there's a long way to go as far as negotiation. They went to Ted Cruz and said, hey, Ted, do you support in this? And Ted said, I support negotiating that bill. Right? I support the negotiation process. And, you know, it's not done yet. So we need to, there's no point in saying that.
And Rand said that Trump was open to negotiating.
Yeah.
And Jim Jordan just said today that they're going to really try hard to make this better. And I hope they do.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Jason Chaffetz had something weird to say. And let's see how you take this. He's talking about iPhones versus healthcare. Take a look.
Access for lower income Americans doesn't equal coverage.
Well, we're getting rid of the individual mandate. We're getting rid of those things that people said that they don't want. And you know what? Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves.
Okay, I think the context there...
Yeah, helps a little.
Helps a little bit. I think he is saying that we're not going to mandate this, but you should just make a good choice on your own.
Yeah, because, I mean, we didn't have the part where you said...
we're not going to force you,
yep.
So we're allowing you to choose. And you're going to have to prioritize. Do you want healthcare or do you want an iPhone? Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's much, much better than with that full, that lead-in's
The lead-in's important.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah. That's it. But, I mean, again, it's a controversial point to liberals. They don't want to hear that. And, you know, I had people today, kind of a couple people as we were talking about that, say, I could sell all of my electronics and not be able to pay for health care. And I think that's true. It's less about lower-income people than I think it is about young people. Young people, a lot of times, live at maybe even at their parents' house. They might be,
which they still can until they're 26.
Until they're 26, still stand still. The same policy. But that doesn't mean the parents don't have to keep them on the policy, right? Like
true.
You could say, screw you, get a job.
Yes.
You don't have to be on your parents'
How
policy.
How dare you?
Pat, why don't you chime in on this one? This is, I think...
How many times did I say, I don't want my 26-year-old on my insurance? Mm-hmm. I don't want it. I don't want my 34-year-old. On my insurance. It's time to branch out a little bit, you know?
And, I've never fully understood this either, because you, Pat, your mm-hmm. son comes to you and says, hey, I got to be on your insurance. I'm 25 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, I think what you're going to say is F you, kid. Probably not
maybe
a
not
nicer.
In those exact words.
Well, maybe with F and you.
Maybe.
No, probably not. You'd say it very nicely, but son, you need to get a job. You need to get your own insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want them to be responsible, though mm-hmm. you want to help. However, if you wanted to help, he can go get a health insurance plan on his own for probably less than $100 a month as a healthy 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And
almost for sure.
And then you could just pay for it. Like, what is the huge benefit of having you on the policy? Because instead of $100, it's $30? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there is some difference because you get a family plan. But a family plan costs more than you and a spouse anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still going to increase the cost of the policy. It just wouldn't increase it as much? I've never understood why that's such a huge, glorious benefit. If you want your kid to have health insurance, let them get their own policy, and then you just pay for it.
It would be cheaper, I think, than adding them to a family
plan. In today's world,
it
would.
Right?
I mean, that's kind of old school thinking, right? The old school was, you know, dad's working and it has the family plan and the company's paying for it and here you go.
And it just depends on how many people are in your family. I mean, if you have eight, it's probably cost effective to have them under the family plan. If you have two or three,
maybe not.
Then maybe not.
And I would honestly be an advocate, and health insurance companies get to make these decisions if they want to. But I would be an advocate of anyone you want to pair with a health insurance plan, you should be able to. Mm-hmm. You know, they always say, oh, you have it on your parents' policy. Well, why can't I put Pat on my policy?
Right. Why do you care who I pay for?
Well, the hell, what do you care who I pay for? You know what? In fact, it makes it easier to be able to calculate risk the larger group you have. I mean, I think you should be able to go on. Like, let's say there's a website called patentsdoinsurance.net, because we wouldn't be able to get the .com. You already have it, probably, a jerk. You just took it. but patentsdoinsurance.net, and you go there, and you say, I'm a Patents Do listener. I want to group into a giant insurance policy, and I'll pay my premiums. And if we want to go through and regulate that and make sure everyone's paying every month, or we all have to pay extra, we should be able to do that. They do have have these things with like MediShare, which is a little bit different. It's actually a cost sharing. It's not an insurance company. But it's a religious group that says we don't want to do insurance, but we want to be able to just help each other. And so you can go and join those groups. And you know, I thought you know, they're going to repeal Obamacare. I bet MediShare is going to have some problems because a lot of people joined MediShare and other groups they were like, I don't want to be part of Obamacare, and I still want to have some sort of way to pay for my health insurance or health expenses. You know, with the way that Republicans are looking, I don't think it's going to hurt them at all. If you avoided Obamacare, you're also going to avoid this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
There's also something they do in New York that's kind of a co-op thing. You join a practice or something for $200 a year, and then you get a special rate when you go to the doctor. Have you ever hear that when we were in Manhattan? Manhattan has all these different doctors who you join their yearly association.
They would be your doctor, pretty much.
Yeah, they're my doctor. I go to them, and I can get appointments same day, and I can go in there the same day, and it costs less overall. But it's somewhat pricey, but if it's less than probably you'd pay yearly for insurance. So there's all kinds of creative things we could do. We just don't do them. We don't do any of them.
Right, because we've been told for a long time that this gets taken care of for you.
Yes.
As much as, like, I like the private healthcare system, obviously, it's the same way there. You go to a job and you're handed a thing and you're just supposed to, well, of course I get it from my job. That's where I work there. They have to give it to me. We don't think about innovating in these areas because we're never asked to. We went through a process this past year of changing insurance companies, which has been challenging for the people in the company.
It's been a nightmare. Let's face it, it's been a nightmare.
But even the process to get signed up was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had to bust out Excel sheets to figure out which plan you wanted to be on.
I don't know about you, Pat, but I spent, I don't know, days
agonizing over the Excel sheets. Yeah.
Days going over that insurance. I wanted to make sure, break it out, make sure that it was which was right, what plan I wanted.
It's important, though, right?
I mean, it is.
It absolutely
saved us a lot of money doing that.
God love you for doing it.
Yeah, bless your heart.
But I mean, who does that? You know, most people aren't doing that. I just like spreadsheets. But I mean, to actually like know what is in there, you have to go through there and freaking read all the details and try to figure it out. And most people are just going to be like, no.
And even then, we didn't have the information we needed. I just found out yesterday, in fact. A really important aspect of this insurance that I didn't even hear about. Oh, well, that would have been nice to know. I don't know, before I lost all my prescriptions. That would have been great.
What?
That would have been great. Yeah, I'll tell you about it in a second. I don't think they're interested. North Korea just launched 4 missiles into the Sea of Japan. This is like the other day.
Yeah.
And there are defense experts who believe the test could be a step toward a super EMP-equipped nuclear weapon, which could take down our entire electrical grid. Yay! Isn't that fun?
Yeah, I think
it's fun.
Now, we know Kim Jong-un is crazy enough to do it, and now they want to show the world that they're capable as well. Our government concluded in a 2008 report that this kind of attack could kill... I mean, this sounds so ridiculous to say, but it's actually what they concluded. That type of attack could kill 90% of all Americans within a year.
Well, and that's because you lose all power. So, okay, all power is out. We don't have computers anymore. We don't have refrigeration anymore. So all the medications that you used to refrigerate are gone. They're spoiled. All the food that you had in your refrigerators and freezers is gone and spoiled, and you can't do that anymore. And then you won't be able to get medicine, and it's a mess. Mm. It's a mess.
It really is.
So that starts with having an emergency food supply on hand, because if the stores are closed, you got nowhere to go, you have nothing to eat, you're going to love having this ready to go.
My Patriot Supply is ready to help you prepare for a power grid failure of this magnitude. Get a four-week survival of food supply for just $99, or you can go a lot longer. Obviously, with something like this, you need to go even longer. Purchase free, you're going to get the free shipping as well when you purchase the $99 offer, which is a great way to get started.
So order it right now, 888-411-5290, 888-411-5290, or online at preparewiththeblaze.com. That's preparewiththeblaze.com. Pat and Stu, 888-727 Beck. Tom Brady has meal kits now that lets fans eat like him. I want to eat like Tom Brady. I'll bet there's a lot of people in Boston who would do this.
Well, yeah, and he's known for his, he's sort of a quirky guy when it comes to that stuff. He's very, like, crazy about the, eating the right stuff, and he's very much on that, like, organic bandwagon, and he's deep into that stuff, I guess. Now he's got a food service. Nice.
That's amazing. Because they, I mean, their cafeteria and eating world at their complex in New England is pretty good.
Is it?
Yes. I mean, you pretty much get what you want anytime you want, and well, however you want it.
That'd be nice.
That is nice. Well,
so Brady's working with some. Have you ever heard of Purple Carrot? It's a Boston-based food startup. For $78 a week. $78 a week, they'll deliver ingredients to customers throughout the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, West Coast regions for six dinners constructed to Brady's training specifications. According to the company, its meals are high in protein, free of gluten and dairy. I'm so done with the dumb gluten thing. We've been glutening for thousands of years. What is this?
Watch yourself.
Somebody help me out with the gluten thing. Well, it's not, if you really have an allergy to it, I understand.
Yep.
Few people do.
Yep.
Very few do. Now, everybody thinks they have some kind of aversion to gluten.
They sure do.
But you don't!
It's a new description for everything that's wrong.
It sure is.
Bread!
It sure is. It is. I cannot tell you how many people I meet that are gluten-free.
Oh, everybody is.
And every time we say stuff like this, they're saying, no, you don't understand. I used to have a temperature of 98.8 my whole life, and now it's 98.6.
Right. That was obviously a gluten problem.
There's always something that
gluten But I will tell you, it doesn't sound bad. If I can spend, how much is it? 78 bucks a week. $78 a week, and I'm going to end up looking like Tom Brady? Okay.
You're not going to end up looking like Tom Brady.
Okay.
Sorry, that's not going to happen.
No. I will say, though, if you these plans can be pricey at times, and but if you eat like this,
well, that's only for one person. It sounds like, right? That's not going to feed the whole family for $300 some.
The whole family doesn't need to look like Tom Brady, just me.
Okay,
you're never going to look like Tom Brady. You know what happens if you look like Tom Brady? Tom Brady kills himself. That's what happens.
You know, you could maybe get down to Alex Jones lookalike, though. You could get to that. I mean, that is a possibility. That's out there for you.
I will say there's been moments where members of this show have been thinner. Okay.
Yes.
When I say members, I mean 100% of all
participants of the
and
show.
And someone sent a clip the other day. Look at this clip. And you're just like, I just want to kill myself.
I put the phone down. I walked away. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Really? Because Jeffy looked like he weighed 80 pounds.
I walked away.
Really?
Uh-huh. Oh, I just walked away.
Oh, man.
It's amazing, every time, because I'm on a decent stretch right now. Like where
I am too. Okay. I'm down about 14. I'm feeling good. I'm okay.
14, that's great. Pat's doing pretty well, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we go through these moments, and when I'm in a moment where I'm eating
feeling
okay,
good, and I see that,
I don't even understand how I blow it. Like I don't even understand it. Like right now, I'm like, just relax. Don't eat the 15 cheeseburgers or pizzas or whatever. Like I just don't do it. And yet, every time I'm in the other mode, I can't understand how I can possibly eat light. It's so weird how it just runs your life.
I know.
You're so funny about that damn clip, because I'm telling you, I saw that. I am not joking. I put it down and walked away. It was damn embarrassing.
To show you that there actually is a limit of how far we would push Jeffy. I watched this clip. I went to go retweet it, and I stopped myself. Because I was like,
really?
You know what? I don't want Jeffy to see that one.
It was too late. I was already there. Because they already tagged me in it.
Yeah,
I was so pissed.
Well, it just happens, you know? And, you know, it's amazing how fast it happens. I mean, I understand. You might look at us and say, those guys don't have any self-control. Which would be a smart place to start. Okay, I got it. But it is amazing to me. Most of the things I do in my life, I have some level of control over. I mean,
right.
I show up to work every day. You know, I pay all my bills.
Mm-hmm.
I save for retirement. I do so many things in which I show some level of discipline. Yet with food, whatever. I'm not on drugs.
And when
wait, that Pat too? If he can get his prescriptions worked out.
Yeah. All right. Colin Kaepernick, really good news. He'll stand for the national anthem next year.
Yeah, what principle. What a principle.
Is he going to be standing at home watching the games on television?
Might. I certainly
so.
Would
Is
sign.
Anybody interested in the guy?
Mm. I wouldn't be. Now, to be fair, I would not be interested in him as a player without this, because he's terrible.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would not have any interest in him. I mean, if you couldn't, if this guy could not work in Chip Kelly's offense, he is worthless. It is legitimately the perfect offense for his skill set.
That's true.
And he couldn't even achieve in that offense because he's terrible. So I would not even. Now you're gonna have. You have a third string opening. You know, if the Bills have Tyrod Taylor back, you got a third string opening because they're kind of similar in skill set. You know, although Taylor's better. Maybe you put him in your third string, maybe.
I mean, you got to believe that an NFL a team is going to take him.
Probably somebody is.
Because, I mean, it's the network, and he can actually play in the league, good or not. He's better in the league. But it's agonizing that they will.
Mm-hmm. He shows no ability for growth. He has done nothing but regress since he entered the league.
Right.
I mean,
and the only reason that he's saying that, I'll stand for the national anthem, it's too late.
Yeah, and the only reason he's saying it is because he wants money. Yeah, he wants his money.
Screw you.
He wants some, because
every. You had your chance.
Because the fact that you have to get over the hurdle of him being a terrible quarterback, and then you have to get into the point where, okay, he's a terrible quarterback, but I'll take a chance on him. I mean,
he's a good guy.
They'll say that. But when they say, you know, I got to deal with this freaking national anthem nonsense in the middle of my trying to get this team ready for a third string quarterback, no thanks.
No.
That's where I would be.
No.
Yeah.
Because even if I thought he was 5% better than the other guy that I had, I'd be like, I don't want the hassle. And, you know, that happened to Tim Tebow as well on the other side, which makes no sense to me. But they didn't want to deal with the circus. So
happened to Michael Sam. He's still whining about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it happened to Michael Sam. But he says it happened to Michael Sam.
I think it did. I
don't think he was good enough.
He actually rated ahead last year of Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right. He had a horrible year.
Brock Osweiler was awful.
Oh, that's your boy.
And Jared Goff. Well, he didn't have.
You know, Goff's a rookie.
I know.
Outside of Goff, did any of those people have jobs next year? I mean, Keenum will be a backup somewhere.
The Osweilers, they got to retain him. They're paying him too much money.
Osweiler likely will be a backup,
but
probably to somebody like Tony Romo.
I hope he'll be a backup to Tony Romo.
Right. But they're paying him too much this year. They have to keep him.
Yeah. 888-727 back. More Pat and Stu coming up in a minute.
And I mean, Denver's Fitzpatrick might not even be in the league. I mean, he might be a backup.
Denver's already said, speaking of Houston, Denver, I think, has already put their hooks into Romo.
Man, I mean, if Denver gets Romo, they're right back to the
Have
favorites.
Darn it. That Jeffy found and felt like sharing with us, so we don't have to talk anymore.
All right, well, we talked about how they're starting to eat animals in Venezuela in the zoos, and coming to a zoo near you will be people looking for food and killing animals. So enjoy your animals at the zoo while you can. In France,
what?
just the other day.
Wait, what?
What?
I'm not sure I understand the story there.
You go to the zoo. Yeah.
You go to the zoo and people are eating animals?
Yeah, people are eating zoo animals.
Because they're so hungry?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like lions? They're eating lions?
That's the Venezuelan diet, which you may be seeing a little bit more of on the Wonderful World of Steel season coming in April.
All right.
But yes, there have been.
The just unbelievably shameless pandering is beginning already.
Well, it's already a month away.
I mean, can't even. First of all,
wow.
Pat,
I think it's April 14th.
Pat, between you and me, I don't know that the show's actually going to be on.
That's what
I hear.
Too.
You have already been scheduled to appear, and so have you, by the way.
Yeah,
wow, we cut a passionate, moving public service announcement for a charity that you don't know about that Pat. It was an African charity. There's puppies mm-hmm. involved. You're gonna love it. And Jeffy, happy to be a spokesperson for a Venezuelan diet product that I think you're gonna really appreciate.
So, thank you. I can look forward to the Wonderful World of Stew mm-hmm. new season. Mm-hmm. What season is it again? The
8, 7, something like that.
What?
Something like that.
Whatever. So what else you got?
People came to work in this zoo in France, and their white rhino, the all-powerful, mighty white rhino that we all bow down to, and it was almost extinct not long ago, and now they've brought it back.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Somebody shot it in the head twice, chainsawed the horns off, because the white rhino horn dust is worth thousands of dollars an ounce as an aphrodisiac. So they're starting to kill animals in zoos in Europe.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's not good.
No.
That's not good, people. Stop killing animals in zoos. And they're just doing it for money. Just poaching.
In a zoo.
Why go to Africa? Why go travel to another continent? I can do it right here.
Save some cash. Amazing.
I mean, thousands of dollars for dust. And yesterday I teased a little bit about, we talked a little bit about it off the air, but joining the likes of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Dirk.
Yes.
Dirk.
30,000 points. 6th NBA player in history to do so. And he did it in a great way. He was on fire from the start. And he needed to score 20 points and did it in like a quarter and a half.
Yeah, let's say, middle of the second quarter, right? 10 minutes left in the second quarter or something.
Yeah, early second. Yeah. He hit, I think it's for 7 shots. I mean, he was just on fire. It was a great way to do it. And he did it against the Lakers, too, which, you know.
That's fun.
A little added, a little added spice for you.
Yeah.
But that was great. And he's, you know, one of
number
the best
one,
of all time.
Favorite athlete in Dallas, Texas Metroplex ever.
You can make the argument, I think, quite convincingly.
Pat and Stu, it's a Day Without Women day.
We've actually sent all the women on the show home because, and I say that as a male telling a woman what to do. But no women are allowed on the show today.
You know what they say, a day without women is like a day without nagging.
Wait, who says that?
They do. I don't know. I think it's wrong. I don't want them to say that, but they say that.
I don't like that.
And I don't like it. I've asked them to stop saying it, but they won't.
Jeffy, a day without women for you. What does that mean to you?
What does that mean? A day without women is a day without somebody in the kitchen cooking dinner. I don't know. What do you want? A day without women is...
Go ahead. Keep going. Because I want people to know when they say, why are you so mean to Jeffy? I want the evidence out there. We're mean to Jeffy because of moments like that, which are frequent.
For stating facts?
Mm-hmm. Yes, for stating facts, Jeffy. I guess the big place everyone's talking about is, I think it's Alexandria, Virginia.
Yes.
Where they, so many teachers called in sick or said they wanted the day off that they just closed the school. Which is great for working women who actually have to go to their job or maybe get fired, unlike teachers.
Yeah, it punishes them.
No, it punishes them.
That's great. That's great. Really a nice job. Good job there. And what are you going to accomplish? Like, we're going to say, oh my gosh, wow, that day was so awful. I don't ever want it to happen. So what are your demands? What are we, so?
So we should fund Planned Parenthood. So there'll be
uh-huh.
less.
What, we're going to impeach Donald Trump because you don't like him? I don't know what happens.
These days are so stupid.
Stupid.
It's just a way of, you know what it is? It's a way of a bunch of organizations that want your money for women's rights to get your email address.
Mm-hmm.
You'll, oh, I signed up for the day. Oh, did you? Now they're going to be spamming you for donations for the next, you know, 6 years. Good luck with that. It's probably, you know what? It's probably a man who thought it up.
It probably is. Mm-hmm. It probably is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, we have, you know, I one of the objectives maybe is equal pay for work. I don't know.
When is that going to happen? I mean, that has to happen.
Do you know that they make 3 cents on the dollar? For every dollar a man makes, women make 3 cents.
Embarrassing. I can't even say it.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be fixed.
Well, they've tackled this problem at Prager University. Here's a look.
The 77 cents on the dollar statistic is calculated by dividing the median earnings of all women working full-time by the median earnings of all men working full-time.
So dumb.
In other words, if the average income of all men is, say, $40,000 a year, and the average annual income of all women is, say, $30,800, that would mean that women earn 77 cents for every dollar a man earns. 30,800 divided by 40,000 equals 0.77. But these calculations don't reveal a gender wage injustice.
Oh, boy.
Because they don't take into account occupation, position, education, or hours worked per week. Even a study by the American Association of University Women, a feminist organization, shows that the actual wage gap shrinks to only 6.6 cents when you factor in different choices men and women make. And the key word here is choice. The small wage gap that does exist has nothing to do with paying women less, let alone with sexism. It has to do with differences in individual career choices that men and women make.
How about that?
You know, this has obviously been one of my favorite stats for a long time. And we talked about it on the show. Every time we get close to the stat, we're like, all right, let's just hear it again.
I know.
The women get, because I think it's fascinating, because it's one of those things that's so ingrained in our society that women are treated terribly and they have this wage gap that people don't even question it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just assumed as accurate. And even with all of this information, and this is not from right-wing organizations, Prager University obviously is a conservative organization, but like mainstream economists, they looked at this, as she pointed out, a feminist organization did a study on it and found almost no wage gap whatsoever. And remember, there's a higher standard of proof on their claims, which is it's not that there just is a wage gap. It's a wage gap that is fueled by sexism.
Uh-huh.
They're actually saying the intent of the wage gap, if it were to exist, would be sexism. And the ultimate argument on this, which was made by a guy who wrote a book called Why Men Earn More, he was a feminist and he was the head of the National Organization of Women chapter of New York City. And he thought, you know what? I mean, I'm a feminist, but I'm also a capitalist. And I thought, you know, women are making 77 cents on the dollar. And it was actually less, that stat was less back then. You know what I should do is start a company and just employ all women. Because I can pay them, let's say, 85 cents on the dollar and save a huge amount on staffing. Mm-hmm. And I will make all this money and I will easily outperform all of my competition. And what he found was women make different choices. They prioritize their family more. They don't want they don't want to do dangerous jobs or work as many crazy hours because you know what, they made better choices and they actually care about their families a little bit more than men in general. I don't mean to bash men here. And the point is that what he found was he couldn't operate the company like that. It didn't work.
Huh.
And you know that is something all of these things are things that we know. We obviously know these things are true. We obviously know that men and women are different. Mm-hmm. We obviously know that not one out of every four women gets raped at college. But these stats just get thrown out there, and you're just like, well, I guess if they're saying them, I should believe them. You got to look deeper than that, and I'm glad they're doing that here. We have another clip. This is, again, kind of explains the career paths and those choices, how they make this into a real wage gap.
Georgetown University compiled a list of the five best-paying college majors and the percentage of men and women majoring in those fields. Number one best-paying major, petroleum engineering, 87% male. Mm. Number two, pharmaceutical sciences, 48% male. Three, mathematics and computer science, 67% male. Four, aerospace engineering,
88% male.
Man, do I hate males.
Five,
right,
chemical engineering, 72% male. Wow. Notice that women outrepresent men in only one of the five top-paying majors, by only a few percentage points.
Pharmacy.
Now consider the same study's list of the five worst-paying college majors.
Okay.
Number one, counseling and psychology, 74% female.
Wow.
Two, early childhood education, 97% female. Three, theology and religious vocations, 66% male.
Uh-huh.
Four, human services and community organization, 81% female. And five, social work, 88% female. Here, it's the women who lead in all but one category. Even within the same profession, men and women make different career choices that impact how much money they make. Take nursing, where male nurses, on the whole, earn 18% more than female nurses. The reason? Male nurses gravitate to the best-paying nursing specialties, they work longer hours, and disproportionately find jobs in cities with the highest compensation.
That's a huge one, too, that nobody talks about.
Nobody talks about that.
You guys are willing to, you know, for whatever reason, they will move away from their families. They will travel to other areas. You know, and like if you're working in a rural area where maybe the pay isn't as high, they'll move to a city and they'll try to make as much money as possible. Guys are motivated generally by money more than women are. So that is reflected in these statistics. I mean, being willing to relocate is huge. We used to talk about this, one of the books we did, I don't know if it was Arguing with Idiots, one of the books that we did, Inconvenient Book, and talking about the difference of whether you would be able to move. What's the difference? Well, we went to one city, I don't remember what the city was, you could look it up in one of the books, but the local, some profession, local job, within 50 miles, there were, you know, 32 choices of jobs. I'm just making these numbers up. But if you look and you expand that to nationwide, there's thousands and thousands of jobs. Even in just regionally, there's thousands and thousands of opportunities. So instead of picking from one of 30 jobs, you're picking from one of thousands of jobs. Well, if you're willing to relocate, you're much more likely to be able to get a high-paying job.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, when you talk about the differences in the genders, wind up playing out to create these gaps. That does not mean that the person who's earning less is less. Money is not how you judge everything. And, you know, the fact that a woman might choose to be near her mother or who is sick or near her children or, you know, keep her children where they are and not move them out of a school where a guy might be more likely to do that is a choice that I think we can all kind of agree in the abstract is actually a better choice for the woman. But it does not lead to more earning. So, you know, that is a huge thing. And, you know, they do everything they can to hide these things from you because it ruins their stat. It ruins it.
Yeah. We're going to do a serial on the war on women here pretty soon.
Yeah.
One of the stats in that is that in 147 of 150 of the largest cities in America, women make more than men. By 6%. Young women up to 40, I forget the exact stat. But in most city, almost all the largest cities in America, women are making as much or more than men.
Mm.
It's a staggering statistic. And we'll find out the exact thing. I can't remember all the details of it. But that's coming up. Is that next week or the week after?
It's a couple weeks, I think. A
couple weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another segment on why there's a gap at all, even the 6.6%.
But why is there any gap at all? No one knows for sure, as both the AAUW and the Labor Department concede. There are so many variables that drive wages that no single study can cover them all. Few wage gap studies control for variables such as dangerous work environment.
Mm-hmm.
Men are vastly overrepresented, for example, on oil rigs. And here's another variable. Men are more willing and able to work long hours without advance notice. According to Harvard economist Claudia Golden, even if two lawyers have the same education, same specialty, and work the same number of hours, firms pay more to someone who is willing to always be on call and ready to be in the office when the firm needs them, as opposed to wanting a more regular schedule. This isn't sexism. It's just common sense.
I'll tell you, man, I see that one play out in my own world because my wife is a schedule machine. She'll do whatever she has to do for her job. She'll do whatever she has to do for the kids. But when something changes last minute, man, it flips her out. It flips her out. And she can't deal with my schedule, which is constant change, as you might know. The Glenn Beck program. Hey, you're going to Bangkok next week. Hey, you're not. Now you're never going to Bangkok. You've been banned from Bangkok. I mean, every 2 minutes. I always say the schedule that gets sent out via email in this company is always the least likely series of events that it will occur.
That's why I always ignore it.
100%.
I always ignore it because I know it's going to change
never
multiple
happens.
Times.
Never. Yeah. It's in fact, it's not. It's like you think like, okay, the most likely, if someone sends something out to you, you think, oh, that's probably going to happen, but there could be a change. I always think of it as like, okay, I can schedule something in the middle of that really important meeting because I know that meeting will not occur that day. it's that bad. We've had vacations come and go. You got a vacation next week. Now you don't have a vacation next week. And that doesn't even include the basic part of this job, which is inherently unpredictable, which is the news.
Yeah.
I mean, the news at any point can say, hey, you got to come in tomorrow. You got to stay late. You're doing a coverage all night. That happens all. I mean, that's also part of this job. And we live in that environment. We understand that environment. And it's just part of what we do. Now, there are women on the staff here, obviously, who also live in that environment and deal with it fine. But I think it's more common among women to like the schedule. You know, Lisa wants to get up at a certain time. And she, you know, like she gets up before I even leave for work a lot of times and goes and works out because if she misses a workout in a day, oh my God, throws her totally off. Or me, I can work, I miss a workout every day and it doesn't throw me off at all.
Of course you don't.
Oh, I no, mean, I'm, you know, look, I'm at the gym most of the day, you know, so I get a lot of my stuff done, you know.
No doubt
a
about
lot,
that.
A lot, a lot. Like, yeah, yeah. People call me a gym rat, you know, I don't like the term, but. You know,
but it's applicable.
It's a in a way.
Yeah.
In a way.
In a way that's nothing like reality.
Not like reality, no. Yeah, but it's a way. I mean, right. Alex Jones says things that are in a way applicable.
Takes his shirt off all the time too. Why don't you take your shirt off? Let's see.
I'm not gonna skip that.
No. Okay.
Because I would like to have some subscribers.
You should take some supplements.
You know, if I took Alex Jones, that would be a fun experiment. They probably kill you, right? If you take an Alex Jones supplement, you probably die the next day.
Probably.
I don't know that. I mean, that's just a guess, and I have no information. I'm not trying to discourage you from purchasing them if you wish to. But that would be a fun experiment. In fact, when I think about experiments, I think about Jeffy.
How's that? I wonder why that happens.
Let me run this by you. You stay over
perfect,
there for a second.
Because he looks like Alex.
He does. If you were to lose a few, We could pop you right in there as our Alex Jones on the show. What if we get you some Alex Jones supplements? Will you take them for a month and see what happens?
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, there's never been a pill you would not put in your body. Let's put it that way. There's never been a pill you say no to.
I mean, that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Right. So maybe we get some Alex Jones supplements and we see the huge transformation. I love this idea, by the way. We get a huge transformation that happens to you after you take them. What if you look like Tom Brady? It could happen.
Right.
I mean, maybe they just don't work on Alex Jones.
With those supplements, yes. It's possible. There he is.
Look at that. That's basically you. We need to get you all. We need to get a lot closer to the camera, and also have your shirt off, which we do not want to see.
No, we don't. Not right now.
Under any circumstances.
It would be projectile vomiting nonstop.
Yeah, by everyone in the room.
This is kind of interesting, too, because on this day of the International Day Without a Woman, in Melbourne, Australia, they've just done something revolutionary. Apparently, women haven't been able to cross the street in Melbourne, Australia.
Huge
because
problem.
They, when the little sign comes up on the crosswalk that you can walk now, it's a little stick figure of a guy. With wearing pants.
How do you know?
Because there's no hair painted on and there's no dress on the girl.
So women can't have short hair or pants?
No, that's right.
Okay.
That's
so
right.
But
now,
there?
Yeah. But now there's a dress on the little stick figure.
Good.
So, it only cost them, over $8,000 for 6 lights. And now the women can cross the street because they put a dress on the stick figure.
And women only wear dresses, so we know.
Right.
How asinine is that?
Right. And it's also just as bad, right? Like,
right,
now you're
right.
Saying, oh, women, you got to wear a dress. Now you know it's a girl. I thought we had this transgendered, enlightened society. What if a man wants to wear a dress?
I mean, this is the hearing impaired at Berkeley.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
So stupid. So stupid.
Ugh, brother.
Ugh, man.
Did you know that the air in your home could be as much as 5 times more polluted than the air outside? That's why we are going to tell you about this.
Yeah.
Phenomenal product. This yep. is fantastic.
Lexapure Breeze. Now, if you have allergies, if you have asthma, if you have a COPD, if you have cardiovascular conditions, all of these can be made worse by... You have all of them, Jeffy?
If you have a person like myself that has all of them, it will still work, right?
Yes, it will. In fact, you really need it, Jeffy. You really need it. You know, these...
what if you have psoriasis?
Well, I don't
combination
know.
Combination skin.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
All I'm saying is it's going to give you healthier air to breathe. So no matter what you have or don't have, why wouldn't you want this?
It's the beautiful Lexapure Breeze Purifier, mm-hmm. air purifier. 4-stage filtration process. So, you know, you can buy a lesser product that just has one filter in it and doesn't have the advanced true HEPA filter.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're going to be sorely disappointed if you do. But this has the 4-stage filtration. Nice. And the true pure HEPA filter.
Yes.
And all for $199.95.
And if you're worried about making too much noise, actually has a silent mode on it. If you want it for, I like the little silent. It's a quiet fan anyway, but I like the little sound of the fan when we have it on at night. But you have there's a silent mode as well. It has an auto mode, so you can just keep it on. And it turns on and off as you need it during the day. And it comes with this presentation from Pat of his hand slowly caressing it as if it was a woman. With a dress. Go online right now, getalexapure.com, getalexapure.com, or call 888-895-7746. That's 888-895-7746. And Pat single-handedly goes into the factory and massages each one just like this, caresses the front and back before you get it.
This is simply the hostess on a game show
yes, it is.
Hand gesture.
Yes, that's very nice. Is. You're doing a very nice job.
Thank you.
888-895-7746 or getalexapure.com.
It is the Pat and Stu Show, 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Yesterday and earlier today, we were talking about Ben Carson's comments about the slaves being immigrants thing. And everybody's up in arms. And honestly, I kind of think rightly so. It was just stupidly delivered, ridiculous to say, and not a good way to put it. However, Barack Obama has done it 11 times that we have found. Well, we didn't find it, but
the Federalists, I think, did.
Federalists did. And, in fact, in one of those cases, and we went over some of these on radio, but we didn't get to one where he actually did it almost exact same comparison that Ben Carson did. Nobody cared when it was Obama. Nobody said a word about it.
Yeah. This is 2015. Certainly, it wasn't easy for those of African heritage who had not come here voluntarily and yet their own way were immigrants themselves. There was discrimination and hardship and poverty, but like you, they no doubt found inspiration in all those who had come before them, and they were able to muster faith that here in America, they might be able to build a better life and give their children something more. I mean, that's almost the exact same quote.
Yes, it is.
It is. And it goes on. Is. There's another good one.
And, you know, people gave us some flack yesterday, the Trump Carson supporters, because if you like Trump, you have to support everything anybody he likes or says.
Everything.
You have to support everything anybody who has ever seen him says. I don't understand this, but Ben Carson was supported and put in place by Donald Trump, now the Trump supporters think they have to love everything Carson says. So
until Trump says he doesn't like him anymore.
And then it's completely different.
Completely different.
But the deal was, well, why don't you look up the definition of immigrant? That means you go to a different country permanently. No, there's more implied than that. I don't care if that's Webster Dictionary definition of it. That's not really what an immigrant is. You've got to be a willing participant in that, right? I mean, immigrating somewhere at least implies that you're going willingly. Not that you're
certainly
being
into
chained,
days,
thrown into the bottom of a slave ship and forced to come here and work for free.
Yeah, technical definition is a person who comes to live permanently in a foreign country. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess technically, yeah. I mean, that's, you know,
come on.
You could apply it. But, I mean, it really, obviously, the way we talk about immigration in the year 2017 is not that. It's not tied to slavery. Look, I can understand, you know, I don't think, like, it was the worst comment of all time from Ben Carson, nor is it the worst comment of all time from Barack Obama. However, you should probably treat them equally.
Yeah, and yes. And Ben Carson's delivery on just about everything.
What was that? It was just so terrible. And it was supposed to be.
That's how he
my
talks.
My understanding is right. That was supposed to be his hello to HUD, I'm your new boss speech.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm leaving after that speech. He that was not inspiring to anyone.
Though you might think, I don't have to do anything in this job because this guy, it's probably that's take him 45 point. Minutes to walk down the hall to my office. I'm going to be able to just do whatever I want. It feels like he went by an M&M bowl, picked up a big handful, and then didn't realize they were Ambiens before he delivers it. And that's how he is all the time.
Yes.
This was even worse, though. It was really.
I liked the guy when he was here with his.
Yeah,
we
he
met
nice.
Him, his wife, everything. He was nice.
I have come to the conclusion that I do not want him to be president of the United States. However, you know, look, he's a smart guy, and there's no, I don't have any problem with him per se. It's just a weird comment, and he constantly puts himself in these positions. He just says things that are just oddball at times.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit bizarre. And, you know, it might be okay for a talk show host or some guy, but you know, you don't want him as a president doing that stuff. Though we do have a president who does that stuff. He just does it with a lot more energy. He's not low energy like Ben Carson.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the microgravity of space, because we're going to be able to travel into space soon with this SpaceX thing. They're going to be taking tourists into space all the time. I mean, it's going to be as common as driving to a 7-Eleven for a Slurpee. That's how common space travel will soon, maybe by next year. That's how common it'll be. So you need to know these kinds of things. Like the microgravity of space can lead to a lot of disgusting situations. If you think carpet spills are hard to clean, try collecting floating vomit.
Oh, God.
Or desiccated skin. That's really icky. Mm-hmm. The calluses on your feet in space will eventually fall off, according to astronaut Scott Kelly. Wow. So the bottoms of your feet become very soft, like newborn baby feet. But the top of my feet develop rough alligator skin because I use the top of my feet to get around here on the space station when using foot rails. Floating calluses with the potential to enter an unaware open mouth is enough to irk most people. Oh, that's gross. Wow.
I don't think I want to go on with this article. Is it possible to stop?
Yes. Because then they go into toilet stuff, which is
I don't want to go.
Not pleasant.
I wanna...
This is not a
Why
pleasant
not?
Story. That's what I was afraid of when we promoted this story, that it was going to be too nasty to even talk about.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know what? Read it. It's at realclearscience.com. And they can give you all the details. We're promoting them heavily here. Realclearscience.com.
I'd love to talk to Scott Kelly about that, though. He's the astronaut that, you know, was a year in space and documented it all, pictures,
isn't
Instagram.
Isn't he the one that's married to Gabby Giffords? Is that him?
No, that's a different guy.
No,
that's another different guy.
Different guy.
Yeah.
Okay, how about why planes don't fly any faster than they did in the 1960s? This is another science one that I'm interested in because it does feel like we made this big innovation with the Concorde, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, this is going to change it. And then they grounded it, and we haven't had anything come back since.
Right.
Really, they did talk about restarting it recently, but for some reason that is not financially viable, which it seems like I can understand it not being financially viable across the globe, and every airport's got 20 of these planes. But you think the New York to London route or New York to Paris – a few of these, as we get become more of a globalized society, it's hard to imagine that that's not worth doing. But the airplane experience really hasn't changed a lot since the 1960s. Tickets used to cost five times more than today's prices because of, yes, it's true, with inflation and everything.
You don't buy a lot of things that are true.
I don't believe it.
That's a lie.
You saying you don't buy it is not. It does not affect me.
This is a made-up story from the airlines, fake news, trying to convince me that what they're charging me now is so much cheaper than it was before. No,
it is.
Well, they say the turbo engines are most efficient flying at the speeds they flew in the 1960s. So going 400 to 620 miles an hour is the most efficient way. It's fast enough to get you there pretty quickly,
right?
But it's also economical enough to not be cost prohibitive. Military aircraft can go with the turbojet engines more than 1,500 miles per hour in some cases. But that takes a lot of fuel. And so, you know, a jet fighter is carrying one, maybe two people at most, whereas a passenger plane is carrying, you know, maybe 200 people, 200 or 300. The Concorde could reach 1,300 miles an hour.
Wow.
Wow.
But he used 47 pounds of fuel for every mile flown and could seat only 100 passengers.
That's really something.
So I guess that's why.
I guess that was a great ride, though, the Concorde. And when you can get from New York to Paris in 2 hours or something, that's pretty awesome.
Pretty amazing. The new 787 Dreamliner, the Boeing, has a cruise speed of 648 miles per hour, but would only use about a third of the fuel, can seat 291 passengers. The speed wasn't worth it for the airlines. And the Concorde, 2003, I mean, it made it for a long time.
Yeah, it did.
And then
yeah.
It had that one crash. Yeah. That one crash,
and, then it was
and that was
all
it
over.
For all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have them, I guess, in museums and stuff. But it's amazing that there's not even like a private one.
No.
I think like, I mean, maybe there is. I don't know. I guess I don't know every private plane, but I've never heard of a private Concorde before. You'd think some guy in like Dubai would be like, yeah, give me five of those.
Mm-hmm.
But no, very strange that that's never come back, because it seems like the type of thing
it
by
sure
this
does.
At this point. I guess maybe we just go Hyperloop and just call it a day.
That's no, what
maybe
that's what they're ramming down our throats, right?
Did you see the little clip of the desert hyperloop they built? They built a little test loop.
We might have showed it on the show one day. No?
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did. But they're saying 500 miles an hour they can go in that, which is pretty fast.
Pretty fast.
Pretty fast. That'd be pretty awesome. 888-727 Beck. More Pat and Stu coming up.
Spoons.
Got an interesting spoons episode.
Yeah, a couple
something
different
that
things.
Sounds really nasty to me.
Yeah.
No. we'll
and something else. Two things.
Spoons. We have a weird one today.
Yeah.
Really weird one.
We have two. So I'll give you the normal one first, the one you might expect for us to do. This is a new Chex Mix popped. It's a popcorn Chex Mix variety, I guess. And of course...
So it's got popcorn and then the little squares.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And the sticks.
And several different kinds, apparently, of Chex, it looks like. I got nothing but popcorn.
And then are these M&Ms?
Yes.
But not official M&Ms, because there's no M on them.
Right. No M&Ms.
So all I try to, I think with the Chex Mix, you want to try to combine as many of the elements as possible.
Maybe.
I get
nice to have an M&M. They're good.
Mm. That's a good combination.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Now,
better with an M&M.
Hmm.
So it's buttered, and then you got the regular Chex stuff in there, so it's salty.
Oh.
Mm. Buttered popcorn. I love these things. These are...
They really went over the top with the butter. The popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And also these are cheesy Chexes. These are lighter ones. Mm-hmm. So you got kind of the normal Chex, the cheesy Chex. Again, I would say...
That's good. I'd have that.
Yeah,
I'd buy that.
Yeah. Now, I hate pretzels.
Oh, you do?
You do?
I hate them.
Why?
So I eat all of eating around them. But other than that...
You like the hard pumpernickel regular in the regular Chex?
Yeah, they're all right.
I like those.
But... so that's scale of 1 to 18. I give that a 12. Pretty. I mean, it's pretty good. I would skip all pretzels, but other than that,
I'd do a 14 on these.
Mm.
I like it.
Pretty high, Jeffy.
I like it a lot.
If I was able to, you know, actually try it with the full thing, I don't have any M&Ms in mind, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the teens, maybe.
That is not helpful, stupid.
So somewhere between 13 and 18. Okay. This one's more exciting.
Not really.
And this is an interesting one.
This one's frightening.
Okay. Our own Caleb. Kana, excuse me.
This is the first product. Well, I think there was one other, but one of the few products I've not wanted to even try.
Now, look. These are homemade. Okay. What they are pickled watermelon rinds.
Well, this is before. This is what you had before my Patriot Supply.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Because this is canned, right?
This is canned goods.
Yes. Now we are.
And here's the thing. I don't even like watermelon that much. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Now what
pickled,
we are told.
Anything in the pickled process, I'm not a fan of that.
I like this because Marissa, our producer, didn't even take responsibility. She says it tastes like sweet apple pie. She won't confirm that. She won't take responsibility for that claim. but apparently Canis says it does.
All right.
And, so it's enough for me to try.
It smells like sweet apple pie.
Now, it smells like pickles to me, but let's see the taste.
That's because it's pickled. Nasty. Whoa, this one spilled all over. What the
heck? I gotta say,
is it sweet?
No, I got
it's
the
sour
juice all over this.
It's got a pickle taste, mm-hmm. but it does kind of taste like apple pie.
A little bit, yeah.
A very, very sweet,
but also kind of tangy, sort of a little kick to it.
Yeah. Can we get Jeffy's face as he does this, please? Because he's weird.
Oh.
Just eat the thing.
I'm not.
When is the last time you didn't put something in your mouth immediately?
Do you seriously want me to answer that question?
Just do it. Come on, we got less than a minute.
Hurry up.
Just take a bite of it, you weirdo.
It's not as bad as you think, though.
No, it's
is
not.
It? Yeah.
It's not actually as bad as you
think. It actually does taste. I would not predict that. It actually does have a
kind of an apple pie-ish kind of taste.
Apple pie-ish taste.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, it does.
I gotta say.
I'll be darned.
Not bad.
Right?
You know?
And then I'm not gonna eat the jar full, but.
No, but it's an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
And I would say most people, 95%, are gonna throw away their watermelon rinds when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
But why
this is
would
a way
you
to repurpose them. You really can just eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right. What would you give it? 1 to 18? I don't even know how to rate something like that.
The pickled?
Yeah.
About an 8, 9?
Yeah. I mean, I could eat them. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a lot of them. I feel like almost like it would be actually interesting in a pie.
Yeah, it would.
You know?
Oh, no. No.
No?
No.
You wouldn't do that?
No. We found Jeffy's line. Back in a second with more. I gotta say, I'm gonna finish up these Chex Mix in the break. The problem with Chex Mix is it's so hard to get the right mix of stuff. All the M&Ms are on the very bottom of the bag,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you wind up getting like a mix of everything else.
You gotta stick your hand all the way in there, all through the Chex Mix and everything, just to get one.
Is that
Don't
what
get me wrong.
It, out?
It is what we like to call around here a first world problem. none of us have starved to death over this problem. But here's a nice segment from Glenn's The Vault. That I think you're gonna love. Right.
Dad, you don't think I don't know who Annie Oakley is.
You're right. I don't think you know who Annie Oakley is. That's her. Do you know who she is?
No.
Really? Yes, you do.
Well, I know that she was one of the greatest shots in the Wild West for a woman.
Yes. I think for anybody, but the guy who knows, Tim here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tim. Tim is coming to show us a bunch of really cool stuff, some new stuff in the vault. And I know we're not going to start here. Is this Annie Oakley's gun? Was this used in the show?
This is one that when she and Frank traveled, as they're doing their exhibitions, they would oftentimes allow the crowd to participate. So this was a gun Annie Oakley would use to show how well she could shoot. And then whoever's the best shot in the crowd gets a prize.
Wow.
So this was one that she shot. And on the back here, it does talk about it, that it's a Savage model, a 1903, but the show model. And it says, Young Buffalo Annie Oakley. And then on the other side, the Annie Oakley Miniature Rifle Society Prize. So the prize given away.
In February 1904.
Yes.
Wow. Can you imagine the pressure of shooting in front of Annie Oakley?
No.
That would not be fun.
No.
Not be fun.
Even if you're normally not a bad shot.
Yeah.
Once you're around someone like that,
right.
you just feel like, okay, I'm inadequate.
Yeah.
Not many women would make me feel inadequate, but Annie Oakley's probably one.
No. And just about, a lot of women can make me feel inadequate. A lot of women.
Well, yeah, shooting-wise, no other ways,
right.
sure.
Yes.
But, yeah, so Annie Oakley is a fun one we can talk about as we're looking into the vault. Annie Oakley was certainly one of the most famous shooters in the world. What's fun about Annie Oakley, though, is... Oof.
She looks like your grandpa.
Well, yeah.
Not necessarily a pretty woman.
But you wouldn't tell her that.
No, I would not.
Because she'd let you
she
run away
dead,
and still kill
she?
You.
Yes, she's still dead.
She was born in 1860. Her father's born in 1860, or died rather in 1866. So she's only 6 years old when her father dies. When he dies, their family really loses the major breadwinner. And so she tells a story about when she was 8 years old. There was a squirrel that was hopping across the yard, and they were hungry. So she grabs a rifle, and I'm going to go. She's never shot before in her
Where
life.
Where is she from?
At the time, it was at Ohio.
Okay.
Real rural area.
Okay.
Poor area.
I know
across the river
is Kentucky, and real Kentucky burnt goo is made with squirrel.
Well, they apparently were very delighted to have squirrel.
Yes, people still in Kentucky can be delighted to have squirrel.
So as she is watching the squirrel, she grabs a gun, she walks to the front door, and she aims, never shot before. She said, I threw it up on my shoulder, and I shot, and it went from ear to ear on the squirrel. So perfect headshot.
Wow.
She said, and I don't think I missed again, was her statement. Well, she began hunting so the family could eat. As she's hunting for the family to get food, she does such a good job hunting that they have more meat than they need, so they start taking it to town to sell. So now she's earning income for the family. Well, she does such a good job earning. At the age of 15, she's actually paid off their family farm's mortgage.
No, don't want to do
that. What are you doing?
I
what are you doing?
School.
Okay, yeah.
So 15-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah, you got 3 years to pay off the family farm.
We don't have a farm.
But the mortgage would still be nice. Home mortgage, yeah, you can pay that off.
You pay that off.
So 3 years is no big deal. Well, when she was 15, then Frank Butler comes to town. He's an Irish guy, famous sharpshooter at the time. So he comes to town, he's going to put on an exhibition of his shooting. Well, he makes a friendly wager, friendly being relative, it's a $100 wager, which today it's like $20,000-something. Yeah. So, you know, friendly wager, $20,000. But with the owner of the hotel and says, hey, I can outshoot any of these hillbillies here. Hotel owner says, I'll take your bet, and calls Annie Oakley. Annie Oakley comes, so she, 15-year-old, going up, Frank Butler's about 30 at the time.
And it's funny, I know the name, you knew the name Annie Oakley. You know the name Annie Oakley.
Yes.
Frank who?
Frank Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know Frank's name.
No.
No.
No, well, I mean, there's a famous musical, Annie Get Your Gun.
Yeah.
And so Frank is kind of represented. Mm-hmm. Although in the musical, it shows Frank winning the contest, which he did not do. Mm. Well, so Annie Oakley wins this contest at 15 years old. Frank Butler is so impressed. Now, he's about 30. He says, I need to know this girl. So he starts courting this 15-year-old girl. Today, that's certainly be frowned upon.
Yeah, that's jail time.
Certainly frowned upon.
Dad is dead, so maybe that explains a little bit.
Yeah, there was no. Well, and even you probably didn't make any advances on Annie she didn't want.
Yeah, right.
She outshot you.
Right.
She'll kill you.
Right.
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 But she starts traveling with Frank. They then end up joining Buffalo Bill's Wild West, and they travel literally all over the U.S., all over Europe. And this is one of the fun things. These little glass balls. As they're traveling around Europe, and if you guys want to see them, these are what they would throw up, and she would shoot.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
These are what they would throw up. And now her husband was part of the Wild West show. He would travel, and they have a little, essentially a catapult. And they would throw these up in the air anywhere from 20 yards to 50 yards away from her. She would have a rifle, and with the rifle, she would shoot.
Not a shotgun.
Not a shotgun. With a rifle. Wow. There are stories that they could take dimes and flip dimes up in the air, and with her 22, she would shoot dimes out of the air.
Do you believe them?
I do. Because one of the exhibitions, when actually we actually have a playing card. We've ordered it. It has not come in yet. But we just picked up, those won't go anywhere. We picked them up at auction where someone held a playing card sideways, and she shot through it skinny ways, sideways, with a rifle.
How far?
20 yards was one that we've read one account of. 20 yards, she shot through the card sideways. And there's a few people today that still can perform some of those feats, but nonetheless, I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
And the guns are different now
than they were then. Very different.
I mean, these things are not.
No, the guns we have now are made to be precise. Yeah. Back then, you know, these little guns.
No, you're close.
You're an amazing shooter to pull it. Well, her husband, Frank Butler, one time threw up 5,000 of these. She shot 4,772 with her rifle.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Wow.
I couldn't do that with a shotgun, and she's doing it with a rifle. But these are just fun things, pieces of history. And why we love telling some of these stories and going back to this is because today, an 8-year-old earning for the family, we would never think about that. But that's the reality of part of what we had to grow up with here in America to where now, the other generations have created opportunities so that what my dad's done for our family, I'm not having an 8-year-old to go earn for our family. Mm-hmm. But that was part of the American dream is we're making it.
We still teach, we treat our kids like kids.
We do.
I don't think they're kids.
And we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And this is to that end.
So this is a...
your butt and get a job. I was working when I was your age.
Well, and they can do a lot more. Young people can do way more than we think they can.
Oh, yeah.
Because even when we talk about today...
We treat them like kids, and so they act like kids.
We do. And even if someone says, well, I've got very high expectations, your high expectations are a lot lower than what high expectations used to be.
Oh, yeah.
What we think are high expectations, that's not very impressive anymore.
Right.
This is a public school textbook from 1960. It is a physical education book, so every kid going through public school, taking PE, this is a book they gave to every kid, 1960s, 1970s. What I love about this book is there's a section in here on riflery. So every kid going through public school is learning how to use guns. And there's many things. There's archery in here. Rafe, you want to come up so you can see it? Now, as you go through this, what's really fun about this book is it shows here's a target.
Well, shows you how to make a target apparently in your basement.
Yeah, if you notice there's bricks behind it, that is an indoor target.
Yeah.
That is how to capture a bullet. Now, we're not shooting big rifles, maybe a 22 short, possibly, but so you can practice at your home, get
better.
Can
you imagine how many parents would go to jail if the neighbors found out they had their kids making a target practice for a 22 in their basement?
Absolutely.
I mean, it would be crazy. People would go crazy. This is a textbook.
When I was a kid, we learned about this, and we actually built targets for our BB guns, and we had a long hallway in our house, and we would practice with our BB guns, and we had to kind of put up little flags so people knew not to walk in the hallway while we're shooting. We didn't want anybody to get hurt.
This does say, it does say here, for more elaborate indoor ranges, just request, write to the National Rifle Association, 1600 Rhode Island Avenue, which I think they still are. Specify gun type you'll be using, 22, pneumatic air rifle, or spring-type air rifle.
And they can give you the right specifications, what you need to build it. But this is PE. This is what every kid learns in school. You learn the parts of the gun. You learn how to score targets. You learn how to hold a gun, the different positions that you use to become a proficient marksman. And so this is, we have a friend in Congress, and he talks about, he'll go to public schools, and he'll say, what would I told you if I said there's a young man who drove to school today, and in his truck there is a loaded semi-automatic rifle and there is a loaded shotgun, what would you say? And everybody, of course, is thinking, well, probably he's coming to kill somebody. Uh-huh. And he said, what if I told you I was that student? When I went to school in the 1980s, our football coach took everybody in school who wanted to learn to shoot. He advertised to the whole school, if you want to shoot, bring your guns to school. At the end of school, we'll go out to the football field, big field behind the football field, and we'll teach everybody to shoot. And so this is arguably kids anywhere in the school, he's asking to come shoot. And so this congressman says, I did that when I was in the night school, 1980s, 81, 82. I brought my rifle to school every day. And then he asked the students, I'd love to ask him, and guess how many people died when we did that?
Yeah. Zero.
Because when you're learning, Annie Oakley, if she is hunting for the family from 8 to 15 and she's earning so much, that girl's going to hit whatever she aims at. Mm-hmm. And if she says in her own record, she says, I don't think I ever missed a shot after I hit that squirrel. She knew how guns worked. And the family trusted her with a gun, clearly, because she's hunting for the family, that she knew exactly what to do and what not to do. And this is one of the amazing things as we look at history, as we think we have high expectations and kids can do great things. When you look at what young people did in previous generations, you realize, wow, I never would have thought that I was going to give a loaded gun to a young kid, say, hey, go get us a dinner. Just go find something.
Oh my God.
But that's exactly what they did.
Amazing.